Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Since 2014, tens of thousands of families have crossed the southern U.S. border from Central American countries like El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, fleeing violent gangs. They've arrived legally, making a plea for asylum that gave them permission to live in the U.S. until a final hearing. With huge backlogs in the immigration courts, many of those people are only being called to court now, sometimes years after arriving. But increasingly, asylum seekers can't find or afford a lawyer. That damages their chances for success. And now, with immigration crackdowns from the Trump administration, many are simply staying away from their court dates, fearing that if they're denied, they'll be picked up and deported. That means that these asylum seekers go from legally awaiting the chance to make their case before the government to being in hiding and then on the brink of being sent back to a violent home country. Julia Preston is contributing writer for the Marshall Project. She delved into one city's struggle with what she calls a crisis of representation that's happening to asylum seekers in cities across the country.
These are families that many of them are fleeing from violent gangs in Central America that have really seized control of many places, particularly in Honduras and El Salvador. And they came into the United States in a different way. They asked for asylum, and they were sent out by the Obama administration across the country to immigration courts to make their cases. And now those cases are failing all across the country, mainly because the people are not showing up in court.
We should stress, came here seeking asylum. That makes them here legally.
Yes, absolutely. They didn't run away from the Border Patrol. They came and turned themselves into the Border Patrol and asked for protection in the United States. And that triggered the initiation of a legal process in which they are allowed to make their claims for asylum. Those claims are very difficult in the case of those families, though.
Now, those claims, of course, require a court date. They require an appearance before a judge who grants the asylum or not. Why are so many of these asylum seekers missing their court dates?
Mainly, it's what I call the crisis of representation, I think, because it's very difficult for these families to articulate their case without a lawyer. And there are places around the country where these families have been able to get lawyers, Chicago, New York, some of the places where the courts are also more sympathetic to their cases. But there are lots of courts where there just isn't that much free or low-cost representation. And so these families are going into immigration court. They really have no idea what the process entails. And as they come to the end of the process, it seems unclear to them whether it's better to go to court and take the risk of being deported, they believe, right from the court, or to try and take their chances as immigration fugitives, which is what they're becoming.
Are they entitled to legal representation or a court-appointed lawyer in the way that an American citizen would be in a court appearance?
No. In immigration court, no one, not even a small child actually, is entitled to representation by a government-paid lawyer. And so it's very difficult. In many cases, even when they go to court, they don't know what to do. It's confusing. And so people, and particularly now with the Trump administration, where there have been cases where immigration agents are actually going to courthouses to arrest people, that in certain places, and particularly in Charlotte, which is where I did this story, there was a general atmosphere of fear surrounding the courthouse that made people also very reluctant to show up.
Now, let's talk about Charlotte, North Carolina, where you went to focus down on one legal system. What did you find there?
Well, Charlotte has a amply earned reputation as being a very difficult court to win an asylum case anyway. There are two judges there out of three when I was there. They just recently added a fourth judge. But basically, there are two judges there who really think that very few people should win asylum based on the statute. And so in the case of the Central Americans, it's even more difficult because the law isn't really designed for people who are fleeing gangs or criminal violence. You need a lawyer to articulate your case for that. And in Charlotte, the judges have been rejecting most of those cases.
So an asylum seeker can't get a lawyer. They don't want to show up in court because they have a fear of being arrested or deported. They don't show up in court. What happens?
Well, in an immigration hearing, when the person doesn't show up, the judge will issue a deportation order in absentia. And then that becomes the equivalent of an arrest warrant, and then ICE can go out and execute that warrant anytime. In the case of these particular families, 70% of their cases are now ending in deportation orders issued in absentia. It's a massive failure of a strategy that actually began under the Obama administration but is now culminating under the Trump administration, which has a much more aggressive approach to deporting this kind of person.
Would a lot of these cases for these asylum seekers be winnable if they had lawyers?
Yes, I think they would. And the evidence is in the courts in other places where aggressive and well-informed lawyers have been able to make these cases. They are winning the cases. These are not frivolous claims. These are people who they've had a child who was threatened with sexual violence if the child is a girl. They've had young sons who've been threatened with death if they don't join a gang. They've had family members who've been murdered. These are serious cases where protection could well be in order.
How much of this through a dysfunctional legal system serves to discourage asylum seekers from showing up in the first place?
A lot of these people are fleeing dangers that no amount of advertising would discourage them from making the trip. And in fact, this surge that we saw in 2014 is starting to happen again. The numbers went way down, but recently the people from Central America are starting to come again. El Salvador was the murder capital of the world last year, if I'm not mistaken, and Honduras is right behind there. It's extreme violence that is spread out across the country.
So, Julia Preston, before we let you go, what can be done here? I'm sure there are nonprofits out there trying to provide legal representation, but that's got to be a drop in the bucket.
We have an example in New York City, for example, where they have made a decision to provide representation for free for people for immigrants who can't afford it and are in immigration court. So there are examples around the country of the positive impact when you do get representation for people. It seems, though, that the Congress is moving in the opposite direction. There's a bill on the Hill, for example, that would actually cut back some of the federal programs that have been providing representation to these immigrants in recent years.
Julia Preston with the Marshall Project. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.